Hey, what's good? This is Rich.
And I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to Paychecks and Balances, where we help you make money, save money, and get out of debt, all while having some fun along the way. And as tired as I am of saying it already, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother. Yeah. When does that expire? Because I feel like you got to go through that 2 to 3 week period where every time you see someone for the first time in 2019, you got to say Happy New Year.
I'm kind of over it. Yeah. You know, so I realized not everybody came back to work this week. So I went back into the office for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And of course, I saw some people for the first time when we did it. And then at the end of the week, I was like, oof, I'm glad that's over. And then I was like, but wait, I haven't seen half my team. So I think after next week, we should be off the Happy New Year.
It's right up there with a case of the Mondays. And if you're new to the show or been around, we're actually usually more positive than this. And be sure to join our free email community. We receive our free 15-minute money plan, interesting reads, and much more. Visit paybal.co/email to sign up. Again, that's paybal.co/email.
And so we're officially back for our 2019 campaign. And I got to admit, man, I'm pretty excited. It feels like we're finally about to embark on some things that have taken us, about 5 years or so.
Yeah, man, I'm a vibe for the show title, unless I hear something else here. But, you know, I'd rather just make more money. That's a catchy show title, man. I'll see if you could top that quote. But yeah,
I'm adding that to the doc.
I am ready for 2019 and all that it holds. And I'd say I'm excited.
Yeah,
I think that's the word I'm going to use. I'm excited for 2019.
I am, man. So on today's show, we're going to talk about some of our individual focus areas for 2019. And I was also thinking that we're getting close to 3 years of Paychecks and Balances in March. And I was thinking about what my life was like when we started this podcast versus what my life is like now. And it's world difference. I'm not sure if you feel the same way, but I know for me, when we started doing this show, I was living with somebody. The way that I thought about finances was completely different. Now I'm not. Again, when we started the podcast, I was thinking a lot about getting out of debt. I've cleared personal credit card debt and student loan debt and even car payment debt. So becoming completely debt free. So I'm starting to think about things a lot differently. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. Not sure what I was doing 3 years ago. I'm sure it was something salacious and scandalous. But I brought back the blog. I told y'all we was going to do a soft launch like last year. So it's officially back. That'll be dropping every Tuesday along with the episodes. So you can find that at paychecksandbalances.com, the website. But it's causing me to kind of reflect, you know, kind of go through memory lane, if you will, as I write these different pieces on these various topics. So I'll open with my financial confession for this year. I guess it's nothing that big, but I'm actually back in debt. And I'm obviously far less panicked about it. Number one, I have the perspective of I've gotten out of debt once before, so I'll just have to get out of debt twice. 80% of it's not my fault. I'm not going to point no fingers. But it is what it is, the decisions that I made and kind of taking ownership of those. And I'm writing, I guess, a new map or plan, if you will, to get out of debt. And I'll actually be sharing this story coming up soon for one of my Go Banking Rates pieces about not more so blame, but what I learned from the experience, how I got back into debt and what I plan to do differently about it and what I would do differently in another situation in the future. So that's kind of my financial confession, if you will. And then I think we're going to talk a little bit about some of our 2019 goals. But one thing I learned from that experience that I guess I didn't really, I guess you can't plan for everything, but I definitely didn't plan for this, is I thought you got out of debt and that was it. Like, and I realized now that was my sprint. Getting out of debt was my sprint, but managing life, and life comes at you fast, is a marathon. So a new situation evolved. And I had, since I had not planned for it, which is actually kind of ironic because some of the things that might have helped for me, although I don't think it would have helped in this situation, but if I had a larger emergency fund, I wouldn't have to have taken some of the choices or made some of the choices that I made to resolve this situation. However, even if I did have an emergency fund, it wouldn't have been significant enough to address this situation. And I never previously, and that's something I'm going to be working on this year, prioritize having an emergency fund. So we were talking to another guest that will be coming out later in 2019. But I think people think, or I assume that some people think I'm more responsible than I am. And I think that's why they ask the question, like, what changed? What changed? And like, I'm still fundamentally who I am. I might be more mature and older in age, right, and senior millennial, but my personality is my personality. So I had to come up with a system that worked for me. And that was automation. So as you know, and I've talked about on a few shows, all the responsible things I need to do are automated and paid for. The 401k is funded. The IRA is funded. The bills are all paid roughly between the third and the fifth. Because I know that Marcus is very capable of being irresponsible for those next 25 days. So I got to get that money out of here, because otherwise I just see it sitting there in my checking accounts like, yo, that needs to be spent, because my natural personality is to be a spender. And so my kind of takeaway from that is, and probably the mantra that I'll repeat all throughout this year until I come up with another one, is the best plan is the plan that works. And, you know, adjust the plan as needed. So I had a great plan. I paid off $30,000 in debt. A unplanned situation came up, and, you know, now I need to calmly resolve that again, but, you know, have that perspective that you can't predict and you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know this was coming, but, you know, I'm confident that I can do it again, because I also literally have the evidence that I've done it before.
Yeah. And I'm glad you made that confession, because I think mine, reflecting on 2018 or even 2016 to 2018, is I'm just not great at managing everything on my own. And that was a big factor in why I finally took the plunge and got a financial advisor, because establishing a budget, I can do that. Setting up multiple bank accounts so money flows into them, I can do that. But when extra money comes in, I don't immediately prioritize it right away. Some of it will go into Digit. I did start moving more of what was previously my auto payment into savings, but there are other times where I may have money come in through work or through some other means, and it probably ends up getting spent before I could have put it somewhere where it would have had a lot more value. And so that's something that I'm thinking a lot about, man. It's just, yo, I can do certain parts of my own, but when it comes to things beyond setting and forgetting the 401k, kind of like you mentioned, that's where it starts to get a little bit shaky. Even exactly how much do I need to be able to walk away from my day job? If I were to retire early, how would that change my savings picture right now? And there are situations throughout the year where I feel these impulses to spend. Let me clarify what those impulses are. And I think I might talk a little bit more about that later. And it would be nice to have someone to call who's not a significant other, who's not just one of the homies, but have someone to call and be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. How do I make it work? And have that person be someone who's on the outside, but they're also my advocate in terms of being a financial advisor, which I think we'll talk a lot more about that this year. And also there'll be some other topics that we're going to talk a lot more about, given that our perspectives have evolved and where we're focusing has changed. I think in terms of a lot of who we talk to and what we talk about, you're going to see that reflected this year as well.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if that sounded as ominous as it did. So just in case it did, I'll just give a little bit of foreshadowing and context. People are like, dang, what'd he do? did he try to buy something in Nigeria? I didn't transfer any funds to, so, you know, get my $1 million uncle or something like that. But it was basically just, that's why I appreciate you saying that. Like, my thinking has evolved, and I'll talk about how that's going to influence one of my 2019 goals. But it was just simply money management as a single, at that time, 27-year-old man, versus money management in a relationship. And I wasn't prepared for the latter, because I was like, well, they'll just follow my habits. I'll just lead by example. And we never really had like, what's our money, or what's our household money management look like? And that's kind of going to be the story that I'll talk about throughout 2019. And I really encourage people, maybe even this is the start of the year, it's a good time to have it. If you haven't had that conversation, especially either before it's too late or if things are kind of going off the rails, it's definitely one of the major lessons learned that I've had from that experience is I'm very comfortable managing my own money. I'm very comfortable making those choices for myself. But when it became a household money management, I was like everybody else. I was like, well, I'll just ignore the problem. wow, dang, the bills are going up again. I guess what are we going to do about that? Oh, well, the credit, that's an emergency. All right. And I wasn't ready or prepared. I didn't have the tools to have that conversation as relationship, Marcus. And that's something I'm going to talk about. Not current relationship, by the way. You know, very happy that things are good. Let me be very clear to draw the line there. This is actually a 3 to 5 year old story. But I'm kind of reflecting back over it now in 2019. I'll share that in the piece.
I'm glad you clarified, brother. Exactly. I am glad you clarified because you might endure a completely different type of expenses as a result.
Yeah, people might have been on the gram like, boy, girl, gossip, the tea. So I appreciate y'all for not doing that.
Oh, man. All right. So let's get into it and I'll start. And one of the big focus areas for me this year is saving more money. And it's also a big reason why I got a financial advisor. So where am I missing opportunities to save more, both in cash, but also in terms of my investment accounts? Are there other investment accounts that I should be setting up? And I feel like I've done okay at saving money, particularly in the past year. Like I mentioned, I have accounts set up so that things are going straight from my paycheck into these various bank accounts, checkings and savings. And then also I've been using a service called Digit. We'll get a link to that in the show notes and also in the email as well, where that will automatically find extra money that's sitting in my main bank account that can be saved. And I've ultimately used Digit to fund a couple of trips, which has been nice because it's one of those accounts that I set up and kind of set and forget. And I'll look in there and be like, oh, there's $1,500 in here. Oh, there's $2,000 in here. And that's really come in handy. And it's almost become my play account without me having to dig directly into my savings to be able to fund the trip or something like that. And so I realize that's not going to be easy for everyone. But as we've said in the past, we've been working for 12 plus years now. I think that's safe to say for both of us. And so in the process of growing our careers, that has allowed us to make a bit more money and to be able to do some things that we weren't able to do before, which I think is what we ultimately want to strive for anyway. I don't think anybody wants to be in the same situation that they were in 10 years ago.
Yeah. And similarly, I guess one of my informal goals, if you will, and I don't actually really do New Year's resolutions. I stopped doing them a few years ago.
That's why I called them focus areas.
I just mean for folks out there, I don't see anything wrong with them if you stick to them, but I just don't typically sit down and set an actual New Year's resolution. And the one that I have, I think I'm going to have to keep to, you know what, it is what it is. But I was almost, so I guess it's twofold. So, one of my Christmas gifts, actually, shout out to Bay, was a 30-day planner for each month, for each year. And it's like this action-oriented thing because she knows I'm insane and I like lists. So it's actually a great gift. I'm very happy about it. And, you know, to start off...
I see you doing that work on your relationship. I see you.
Yeah, to start off with it, ask you to, like, you know, plan out your year, like the first few pages. And I guess for the people that are interested, I can get that link in there to a certain planner. And I was actually... I had this weird moment where... I was scared to write down the goal because I felt like that made it too real. And it was, one of them is to put $100,000 in my 401k. That's not going to happen this year, but that's like one of my long-term goals over the next 5 to 10 years, if you will. And there's several reasons behind that. But the short version of that story is if I can get $100,000 into a 401k, even if it just had an average annual return of, I believe I said 7%, that, if I added no more dollars, would grow on its own to over $600,000. I wrote a full piece on this, and I'll get a show notes in it. So I'm sorry, I'm struggling to remember the math. And if I continue to add to that at that rate, it'd be like something like $4 million or something like that. And that's what I'm talking about. Like those numbers may sound crazy to some people, but I mean it's growing over the next 40 to 60 years, and because of the moves I've been able to make in the past, I'm more comfortable knowing that I can achieve those goals. But for some reason, I literally kind of had this moment of hesitation. Like, if I write this down, it's real. Because I knew that the year is going to pass and then I'll come back to this goal and I'll either have hit it or missed it, which is directly hypocritical to my own statement of, you know, the point is to have goals to hit, not to hit every goal that you have. And so by extension, another one of those is to fund my emergency fund. And I'm still going back and forth on what amount. So I want to start with $1,000. I want to get at least $1,000 saved. And some people are going to be wondering, you know, where's that going to come from? So obviously I could allocate monthly, but I'll actually, I like bulk savings, you know, I like to blow money fast. I like to make money fast. So I'm thinking that I'll just take whatever my tax return. So I'm assuming that I have a tax return. I got some separate thoughts on that. I read an article that's got me a little bit frightened, but I think I'll have a tax return. I have for the last 5 to 10 years. But if I do, I think I'll just use that to, you know, start my emergency fund. I've told some people to try this exercise as well, or to break it down monthly. And then where I'm debating is, okay, do I need 3 to 6 months in there? And like you talked about, you know, my mindset is changing. Okay, if I walk away, do I need more security? Thus, maybe I need 6, 9, 12 months of emergency fund just in case I go and have a more variable income. If I move into this, you know, speaker field or entrepreneurial field where my income isn't guaranteed paycheck to paycheck. And that was a lot scarier a few years ago than it is now that I'm kind of moving into that reality where I might have variable income, but in a pursuit of something I truly enjoy that makes me happy, kind of switching that percentage, I guess, if you will. 80% of what I do right now is the 9 to 5 and the 40 hours a week. But my happiest is the 20% that I spend, you know, doing this podcast, speaking to young individuals, being in the community, and really fundamentally just helping people in some capacity in whichever way that may be. And so how do I switch that formula? So those are kind of my first two tied in goals, if you will, building the emergency fund. And then maybe even by extension, it might be funding my own walk away number, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the big struggle for me is that walk away number, because then someone will be like, well, have you thought about business taxes? Which, I mean, we think about a little bit now. Have you thought about healthcare? Have you thought about these things that you won't be getting from work? Have you thought about this? And I'm like, yo, I am grossly underestimating what it's going to take me to be able to get there. But I did grab that digit link in case someone's like, I ain't trying to go to the show notes. If you go to paybal.co/digit, PAYBAL. .co/digit. That'll take you to a video about the service. They're not paying me to talk about this. I've been using it for years now, and I do get a $5 credit if you use my link to sign up. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that I've accepted that there's a lifestyle that I want to live and a lifestyle that I want to maintain. And there's also the lifestyle that I want to have going forward. And I've been thinking more that I need to be way more aggressive about how I save, but again, not without having to go down to a 400 square foot place and having the bike to work, and I'm cooking dinner every night. I've just accepted I'm not going to be the cook dinner every night person. That's not going to be me. So there are things that I'll look to do to minimize expenses. So for example, I cut cable this past year, and I haven't looked back, by the way. I was so stressed all these years about cutting cable, and I realized how little I actually watch TV now that I have other ways to occupy my time. I actually feel like I've become smarter by not having cable.
That's funny.
And then, you know, I've also accepted that spending is still my big impulse. That's still what I tend to gravitate toward when things get crazy in life, things get crazy at work, things get crazy outside of work. I find myself justifying ways to buy things. And so, again, having that advisor, while there is a cost attached to that, and it's not cheap, having someone who I can go to that could help me maybe save $1,000 or show me how to most effectively move things around to be able to have some type of life experience or make something happen is going to be really helpful for me. So saving more money, definitely at the top of the list.
For me, along those same lines, while I do want to save more, and I can't even remember the last time I had cable. I've gone so long without it. But I only say that because we being the personal finance community, talk a lot about cutting. But I'm kind of already bare bones, if you will. Like, I'm not even sure too much left that I could cut. And it's almost like you ever go into the fridge in the middle of the night and you open it up and there's nothing in there and you close it. Yes. And then you open it again. it's kind of like that. Yes. I got this budget list that I look at all the time. And yet, it fundamentally hasn't changed in like the last two to five years because there's not really too much left that I can cut. And so I say that to segue into, I think I'm just going to look at more income streams. Like, what can I be doing today, or what can I build now or what can I multi-purpose, might even be the best, that would either make more money today or lead to more money in the future. So some of those ideas that I'm bouncing around, which I guess would be no surprise. And in some ways, you know, it's like one of those aha moments, like, why the hell didn't I just do this earlier, is, you know, teaching a course or putting a course out there. You know, I wrote this book, Debt Free or Die Trying, and have no course out there. It doesn't make any sense. And I know a lot of people have asked in different ways. And what's interesting is, and I think we talked about this with a previous guest, I think it was Jason Brown of the Brown Report, was when he was talking about the money will hit you over your head when it's time to go, the questions are hitting me over the head now. So more and more people, like when I get these articles or these features or these pieces or interviews, more people are kind of falling in the DMs like, hey, do you have a course? Or what would you recommend? I'm thinking about getting a loan, or I'm running into this problem with. And while I try to respond to all of those, it's manageable now, but it's clearly going to get to a point where it'll be unmanageable. And it would be nice to be, I've answered that question, and here's where you can go to find out more. And that's not more like, I'm too busy to answer this question, go pay me. It's more like, I literally do not have the capacity to answer all these. I want to, but here's this course that I've set up that answers that question for you. And if you want to make an investment in yourself and get that addressed for you, here is one way to go about doing so. And then, of course, there's always I see it more as long-term, because I don't see myself as a trader, but like, I have the long-term investments, and eventually those will start paying out dividends and hopefully get to a point where the money starts working for you, as they say. And that's why I'm trying to get that IRA to 100,000, partially, I guess, for two reasons. Number one, because of the numbers I said, as it'll grow on its own just from time and compound interest. But number two, that would just make me really comfortable to know that I have, this six-figure account out there. So, and yes, it's growing, and the long-term plan is that it grows all the way up to retirement. But then I can technically give myself a very low-rate six-figure loan. It wouldn't be free. I mean, there'd be taxes and other implications. But there's just a place of peace, like you said, that, is intangible, that I can't really put a value on. And that is one of my other walkaway numbers. Like, I know when I, even if it's just mental, when I make that amount and that's funded, I'll be very comfortable doing these other avenues. Because as we've talked about before, some of these things I could do today. Like, I'm not that guy, but I could quit my job and, struggle and go back to the cheese sandwiches, and keep it real, But like we talked about also, that's not really what I don't want to go back to 26-year-old grind at 36. I could, but I just don't want to. I'm accustomed to this lifestyle. I don't want to divorce myself and take myself to divorce court and try to make these same bucks. Like, I'm accustomed to this lifestyle. And so now I'm looking at, how do I replace or increase this money through side hustles or passive incomes, or what are the multiple job types that I could do that aren't a traditional 9-to-5 and yet still allow me to maintain this lifestyle or greater?
Yeah, man, I think we're definitely on the same page there, because very close to saving more money, my next focus area was going to be making more money. And so I realized my day job compensation is fixed. I know what my salary is going to be. There's security in that. My bonus does have some variability, but I can estimate what that's going to be on an annual basis. I do have stock as part of my compensation plan as well. Now, the stock market has been fluctuating wildly, but at the same time, I can say, okay, I'm probably going to get about this much this year from how the company stock performs. But beyond that, I started thinking, what are some of the other things that I can do right now to start making more money, which is going to allow me to also save more money? And it's also going to allow me to be able to do some things that I've thought about doing before, but money has always felt like an obstacle for some reason or another. And I mentioned how I don't want to downgrade, how I don't want to bike to work. And it's like, well, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. And for me, I'm willing to put in more work to be able to avoid doing that. And so for me, a big thing already is consulting. And even how some of these opportunities have come about, it's come from us actually spending money to go to conferences, to make the connections, And even in the case of one of the clients that I'm working with now, that was off of a conversation that you had with somebody at a conference, introduced that person to me. And then that ended up turning into a proposal and a deal. So last year, I did have some consulting income that came in, and I already have $4,500 in consulting booked for 2019. And I think the one thing that I've learned already is that I have to be a lot better with my time. And so right now I have the 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or 8:30 to 5:30 or whatever it is. And so since I'm on the West Coast and the folks that I work with are typically on the East Coast, I've now had to get to a point where I say, hey, my main side hustle hours for consulting, for podcastings, for whatever else, it's going to primarily be 6 to 9 a.m. or 5:30 to 8:30 a.m. And I've made it a habit of getting up regularly. And so I am not encouraging everybody to do that. That just happens to be what I need to do, because I can't be leaving meetings at my day job to go take meetings with a potential client. There's all sorts of issues with that. And then, of course, doing things in the evening, I get home at 5:30, 6 o'clock. It's already 9 o'clock on the East Coast. So I had to make that sacrifice. And I had to accept that while I'm doing the consulting work and it's bringing in bigger chunks of money, or I expect that it will, or hope that it will be. No, I expect. Let's have that positive outlook. I expect that it will bring in more money this year. I've had to accept that that's also going to mean more time. So the sleeping in or whatever else, I'm not going to be able to do that as much. But when I go look at what's now the personal business account, or even when we look at the podcast, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, and we see those numbers growing, we're seeing a direct correlation between that extra time that we put in and the money that we're able to generate. And I know passive income is a lot of the rage. That's what most people talk about. But sometimes having a service-based business or trading time for money isn't a bad thing. It doesn't have to be that everybody has a course. And that's no shot, because we're working on something. But it doesn't have to be that you have to create this product or create this brand where, you know, you're marketing 24/7 and you're exhausting yourself. Sometimes it could be that, yeah, you're marketing yourself, but you're working with folks on a one-on-one basis, or you find out that there's a skill you have that people are willing to pay you for, and then you help one person, and then you ask them, do you know anybody else who could use this service, or anyone else who might need help with the same thing, and start building clients that way. And even with Jason Brown, I think he talked about that a bit. He talked about the kids who I think were, was it shoveling snow or cutting grass?
And they charge an extra fee if you wrote them a check.
See what I mean? So there's ways out there to get money. And I know that for a lot of us, and maybe I'm speaking more so for myself, when I come home from work, man, I am tired.
Preach.
I am tired. And so I know that in the evenings, I'm just not going to be as productive. So what do I do in the evenings? That's usually when I go to the gym now. I used to be a morning gym person, but now I moved that to after work, because I know if I sit try to work on a client proposal or a client presentation at 8 or 9 p.m., I sit and I try to outline an episode or write a blog post, it's going to take me twice as long, probably maybe even three times as long as it would take me during that 6 to 9 a.m. block that I've started using, which is really the time now where I say, yo, this is money time. This is where I'm focused on things that are going to help me make more money so that I can ultimately save more money and go from there. Hey, what's good, folks? We're taking a quick break to tell you a little bit about today's episode sponsors. As someone that's been working in recruiting and staffing for a decade, I can agree that 98% of Fortune 500 companies use resume filters to screen candidates. JobScan has leveraged artificial intelligence to build a resume scanner that mimics these filters and helps job seekers optimize their resumes, and it is legit. I ran my own resume through the service, and it gave me the same recommendations I've given to people over the years. So, companies use different applicant tracking systems for resume screening. JobScan knows which system each company uses and provides you system-specific tips to further help you land that interview. You can see which keywords occur most often and match them between your resume and the job description. JobScan Premium gives job seekers unlimited resume scans and access to tools like LinkedIn optimization. Go to jobscan.co and use promo code paychecks to get 10% off JobScan Premium. Again, that's JobScan, J-O-B, scan.co, promo code paychecks for 10% off JobScan Premium. And if you're like me, you have a list of books you want to read but don't have the time to get through. So I found myself wondering, how in the hell am I going to get through all these books? In comes Blinkist. Blinkist summarizes the key takeaways from thousands of nonfiction books and shortens them to about 15 minutes apiece. And if you don't want to read, you've got the option to listen, where you can get through 4 books a day while on the move. I was able to get through Becoming by Michelle Obama in the time it took for this pizza to reach peak crispness in the oven. As for the next quick read, The Millionaire Next Door, because Marcus said it was good. Blinkist is made by people who get it. Right now, for a limited time only, Blinkist has a special offer for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/paychecks to start your free 7-day trial. That's BLINKIST.com/paychecks. And if you finally realize what I'm saying, Blinkist.com/paychecks. And now, back to the show.
Some people are going to be wondering, okay, where does my side hustle or passive income or what can I monetize come from? And when I talk to a lot of people, honestly, the first place to start is your job description. And I say that because your company has already, hopefully, identified you have and bring these skills to the table. And you've already got your pricing rate. So if they pay you $25 an hour, and like you said, when you then need to add in taxes and healthcare, whatever other benefits they might be covering. So put maybe 30 or 50% on dollars on top of that $25 rate to give you that overhead. And then maybe, I don't know, 30% for taxes or something like that, if you want to be conservative. And that's your hourly rate. So now you have to determine if the market will support that, generally, because your company might be a million or $1 billion company. They can obviously pay you more, but you can go to the market and say, I'm already getting paid this amount of money to say, like you said, doing consulting, or I'm doing this at my job, or I'm doing this on the podcast, or whatever it may be. Are you willing to pay this? And then start negotiating from there and build your client base. But I think a lot of people underestimate the skills they already have and bring to the table, or they're not comfortable asking for it. And I'm like, you're already getting paid to do this. So all you're doing is really transferring your skill set to another, if you will, economic base, which happens to be customers. So your company has identified you are worth this amount of money. Now find those customers that also think you're worth that amount of money. And to your point, if that's what you're interested in, I mean, if I don't money shame, I don't job shame, I don't 9-to-5 shame. Like, everybody doesn't need to be an entrepreneur. But if you are unhappy working a 9-to-5 and you can't figure out why, maybe it's because a 9-to-5 isn't meant for you. I think a lot of us only have been taught or know trade time for money. And honestly, that was my mentality for years is, well, let me put it this way. If someone had asked me at 20 to put a list of 10 to 15 things together that would make me happy, that I would want out of life, work and job, and just really all around, that list would be checked off and I would have to add boxes. Like, everything that I thought would make me happy at 22 as a college graduate, I've achieved. And yet here I am at 36 and I need a new list. And it's not that I'm not grateful. It's not that I'm not appreciative, but that 26 or 22 in this case, year old list doesn't make 36 year old me happy anymore. And so as I move through 2019 and beyond, it's what does my new happiness list look like? And being comfortable saying, well, it doesn't have to be the same list, like you said, that was 10 years old now, and making peace with that. And also think taking some ownership for it, because, and I still kind of believe this, I don't think it's my, personally, I know some people feel differently, it's not my job's job to make me happy. My job is to hire me for what is outlined in the job description and, you know, pay me every, in my case, 4 weeks or biweekly if it's for you. That's it. That is technically their only obligation. And yeah, they can have all these other things, the work-life balances and things, because they're competing in the marketplace. But I think a lot of people are like, well, this doesn't make me happy. My job needs to change. And I'm like, I don't really see it that way. Now, they shouldn't be abusive. They shouldn't be taking advantage. But I don't think fundamentally the job is what's supposed to make you happy. The job exists because they have a business function, and you need to find the job or whatever those things may be, whether it's traditional or otherwise, non-traditional, that make you happy and then go out and do those things. I think there's a balance in taking that ownership for identifying what makes you happy. And if that's not your job, then what job or hustle or passion does? And another thing that I tell a lot of people is, I'm trying to think of a way not to make this negative, but it might not be the job. And just kind of accept the job as a means to an end, or what are the benefits that come from it that do allow you to travel or have the lifestyle you have or provide for yourself or your friends or your family. And, you know, not to take that for granted as well, because I think people want it to be this all encompassing thing. And I'm like, well, maybe it's all encompassing for 40 hours and then figure out what you're going to do on the weekends or with your remaining time. Or, like I said, it might be that you need to wholly replace, because I recognize 40 hours out of a 7-day week is a long time. I was looking at some chart the other day, and it was, they did a study on whom you spend your time with. And in the middle part, from like 20 to 60, it's your coworkers, which is insane.
Yeah.
You spend less time with your loved ones, which I guess makes sense just mathematically, but seeing it in a chart, and it was a big difference. I'm talking about like you spent a few hours each week with like friends, family, and you spend, you know, like I said, 40 hours for 40 years with your coworkers. I was like, disgusting. And so I do get that that's when it's such a big component of your life that yes, it should make you happy, but I think it is your responsibility to find what that job, function, place, building is, and then go out there and, you know, like, what is it? Take life by the horns, if you will. New year, new me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't always have to mean that, okay, I've identified this new thing that's not a day job that I immediately have to walk away from. I mean, you could just dabble in it on the side to start getting that additional satisfaction. And so, like, for me, I started thinking about what are the various things that I could do? And I'm like, well, I mean, I've been doing podcasting over five years now, and I've spent a lot of that time doing the production aspect of things. I've helped people start their shows, just kind of informally answering questions. So I was like, oh, I can do podcast consulting. And so I have a site that I've casually mentioned here and there at theshowstarter.com, which you can, I guess, check out. And you know, for me, it's like, it's something that comes naturally, and you know what? I'll say it comes easy to me. Like, just my level of knowledge. And a lot of times you don't realize what you're good at or what you're passionate about until you start having a conversation with someone about something. And then you can feel the way that you light up, or a person will start asking you questions and then you see their eyes light up because there's all of this information that you have that to you seems basic and simple. But to somebody else that doesn't have any idea what they're doing, it's all this value, you know? I've also even thought about on the career side of things. Like, I've spent over a decade in HR now, HR and recruiting. And so I could do career coaching for people. I could do job search coaching. I could do resume reviews. There are a lot of different things that won't require me to have this huge ramp up, where I could start working with people and start having this additional level of value, but also this additional level of satisfaction, because I know that I am helping people improve their situation. And in the process, I'm making money as a result. You know, I'd say, and I think I said this on Twitter in December, that like 2019 will not be the year of the free. Like, I just can't do it anymore, you know, where I'm already up from 6 to 9. You know, I'm going to a 9 to 5. I'm going to the gym. I'm coming home. I'm trying to maintain relationships and so on outside of work. I'm trying to preserve my happiness. So even if something comes naturally to me and it might be easier for me to do, to set aside an hour or 2 hours and know that that's time that could be spent doing whatever else it is I want to do, even if that's lay on the couch, if that's sit and play Spider-Man, if that's work on something related to the podcast, there are other things that I can do with that time. And that's not to say that anytime someone asks me a question this year, I'm going to be sending them a Venmo or something like that, looking for compensation. But I'm being very intentional this year, specifically with making more money being a focus. I'm being very intentional about making sure that I'm being compensated for my time where it makes sense.
Gotta start paying me for this. Can't get no more free, Randy.
Yeah, I think as well, maybe one of the benefits of being senior millennial is also having a better understanding, not a holistic understanding, but a better understanding of what makes me happy as well. So it's that exercise of figuring out what to do next is a lot more clear to me, and therefore goes a little bit quicker. And similar to you, I actually think taking a break from the writing actually helped as a really refreshing exercise. Because, you know, we did that writing on SPM for like, what, 5 years, 7 years? And I was like, yo, I'll never write again. And getting back into one, it's a different lane and something I'm passionate about now. I don't know, you know, if it'll still be something I'll be passionate about at 46, you know, now that I have the perspective of what I thought would be a sustaining lifetime of happiness at 22 is different now, but it makes me really happy now. And, you know, bringing the blog back, and another one of my 2019 goals is to write my third book. I have a catchy title for it. I'm not going to say it because y'all be stealing. And I also think along those lines is I'm probably going to go through a publisher, because I also have a different end outcome or goal from this particular one, which I can talk about, is I'd like to see this one become like a speaking tour, if you will. And I see this third one as like the culmination of everything I've learned from Debt Free or Die Trying, and kind of what I learned in that 6 years or however long it takes me to write it, although I'd like to complete it in 2019 since then. And my perspective has changed. There's some things that I would do differently. There's some things that I would do the exact same. There's some things I do faster, some things I do slower. But to your point, I feel like I have something to offer in this lane that would be a benefit to myself and others. And also to the comments that you made, although I didn't want to cut you off, is when it's your natural skill set, I think it's really easy for people to assume anyone can do it because I can do it. And I'm like, that's blatantly false. But what I've come to, because I've been doing a lot more mentoring lately, is, which is also something I enjoy and I want to fill my palate with, if you will, because I've identified that that's something I like doing and I think it's a benefit to others. But a lot of times I talk to people and they're like, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm good at. And I'm like, you're good at this. Because I can see it, you know, it's that outside perspective. And they're like, nah, man, anyone could do that. I'm like, no, they cannot. I mean, anyone could, but nobody will. And that person should be you. And, you know, go out there. But it doesn't matter if I see it in you or someone sees it in me. I've been very blessed, if you will, that a lot of the mentors I've had, honestly, a lot of the better bosses that I've had have identified skill sets that I wasn't ready to see in myself yet, but they put me in positions to succeed anyway. They're like, you can do this. And even though you can't see it, I'm going to put you here so that others can. And eventually you'll come to that realization because it's inevitable. And that's kind of the voice I'm trying to be to people now is, even though you can't see it, don't hashtag block your blessings. Like, get out of your own way or don't be your own obstacle to that success. But it will not matter if I see it or Rich sees it or your friend sees it and your family see it if you don't act on it. But start using those opportunities and voices of support as evidence that you should be doing something. And what I would say is, you don't even have to get it. If someone says you're good at this, go out there and see if there's a market for it and see if that just your mama saying that you're good at it, or are you truly good at it? And I feel like that's the difference maker from the people that you kind of see not making the changes that they say that they want to make, because at some point you got to go beyond the talk. And I'm one of those people that believe actions speak louder than words. So the example that I'll give is, you know, for me, it is natural. And you know that a lot of people are talking about the voice. Now, Rich, I've had my voice since puberty. So I don't think it's anything special. It's nothing unique to me. But a lot of people that I respect were like, yeah, I think you have something there. So now that's a lane that I'll be exploring in 2019. I don't know if anything will come of it. Nothing may come of it. But literally, what do I have to lose? Because I'm just using the vocal cords that I use every day of my life. And that is a tangible skill that everyone doesn't have or can't bring to the table. And another thing that I'll point out is, even if they could, whatever that skill may be for you, it doesn't matter because everyone's not showing up. So everybody's like, well, anyone can do this. I'm like, but nobody is. And somebody needs to. And that could be you. And so they're like, well, anyone can do whatever X is. And I'm like, But first of all, there's a whole lot of money out there. So there's more than enough money to support everybody who shows up. But guess what? Ain't nobody going to show up. And a lot of that competition is really no more intimidating or accurate than the person in the mirror. So again, you know, go out there and be great and get paid for it. No more free Randy.
And I'm glad you said that, man. And I kind of have a side note and another confession that's also relevant. So when I was talking earlier and I mentioned the podcast consulting website, I felt really, really awkward and uncomfortable. And even when I said how much I had booked this year, it felt really awkward and uncomfortable. And I actually felt guilty for a moment. And so I didn't have this listed as a focus area for 2019. And I know that I've mentioned this on the podcast in the past, but it's something that I'm continuously working on, is not feeling guilty or any type of shame for promoting myself and promoting what it is that I do. And more importantly, sharing with people how I can help them in whatever it is that they're doing. And I know that that's something that a lot of people struggle with, particularly on social media. And we have this here platform. You know, we have people who come back and listen every week. We have a lot of people who are probably listening for the very first time. And even though we've been doing this for 5 years, I still just felt this like really awkward, odd feeling mentioning what it is that I do, what it is that I've made, and telling people where to go find it if that's something that's interesting to them. So I'm going to add to the focus area for this year to continuously remember that it is okay to mention things that I can offer, because by me not mentioning those things, I might be depriving somebody of an opportunity, or I might be depriving someone of the help that they need to get them where it is that they want to go.
Yeah, I agree. One of the folks who might be my mentor this year, actually, I'm in search of a new mentor, is employees ask how much it costs, entrepreneurs ask how much it'll make me. And kind of what he meant by that is a lot of people just get caught up in it costs something. And we're in this very weird, everything should be free place. And I'm like, but everybody want to make money. So I'm like, why should everybody be free to you? And I don't get no money. Anyway, that being said, and I think it's getting more comfortable. And my mentality now is I give away a lot for free. I speak for free. I volunteer for free. You want my 2 cents? That's free. My 4 cents is a fee, but
the podcast is free.
Right. Like, there is plenty of things, you know, Google is free, you know, and I'm not smarter than Google. So anything that you want to know that I could say is probably out there on Google. But these things in this lane, hey, you got to pay, man. Ain't no more free Randy in 2019, you know what I'm saying? And you can feel how you feel about it. And if I'm not the purse for you, like, my voice doesn't have to be for everyone, and neither does anyone's. But those people that need to hear it, I feel, will invest in me, whether that's financially or not. And I don't think they need to support me financially to support me, because there are all these free mechanisms. And it can just be as simple as, you know, a like on Instagram, a retweet on Twitter, a like on Facebook. You know, that's good enough if that's what you offer. But in order to get these other things, I just need to get, like you're saying, comfortable asking for what I feel I'm worth. But even if I wasn't, the value I do feel I bring to this information or to this lane or that I can provide, and just getting kind of more comfortable with asking for that.
Yeah. And you'll hear people come on the podcast, or you'll be listening to other podcasts, and you hear people talk about their journey, and they speak about it so confidently, and they can tell you how they built their business. And you'll also hear them sometimes talk about the difficulties that they face as well. But this stuff is really hard. And even if you think about, if you've been working for a few years and you go on new job interviews, yeah, you might be confident in yourself, but you're still going to feel some level of nervousness, at least unless you're The Walking Dead. Or if you're doing something new and you're excited about it, you're going to feel some level of nervousness about it. And people are naturally, as much as people say, I don't care what anyone thinks, people ultimately care what others think about them and how they're perceived. Now, how consciously they manage it is a different topic. But I know that that idea of saying, hey, I do X, and hey, here's where you go to find more about my offerings. Like that is hard. That is not easy work for everybody. And so I would encourage you that if that is something that you struggle with, that you just take some time to sit down and just outline and write out a lot of the things that you've done, whether you think you've done them excellently, you think you've done them just okay. And even some of the things that you're really excited about, or you start having a conversation with people and they're like, yo, you know a whole lot about this. And you can just go from there in terms of figuring out what it is that might make the most sense. Because I find that the fear isn't in whether or not I can actually do this. I do think there's some of that too, or, you know, there might even be a lot of that, but the fear is in putting yourself out there, whether that's in just mentioning what it is that you do, or asking somebody to compensate you for the value that you know that you're worth. So I don't mean to get up on a high horse or anything like that, but hey, it is new year, new us, new year, same us. Different focus areas in some ways. And as I'm realizing a lot of the things that I still struggle with, even after all these years, I'm realizing that there are a lot of other people who are out there who are probably struggling with the same things. The last thing that I would add, which doesn't really either help more money, which doesn't even help me make more money or save more money, but it does help me increase my life happiness, and that's travel. And so this is probably the first year where I'm seriously looking at my budget and thinking, okay, how do I make these trips happen? Even if there are some areas where I may need to find a way to cut a little more. So, okay, maybe instead of making dinner every night, I say, in order to make this trip happen 6 to 8 months from now, I need to cook 2 more times per week or whatever it is, or I need to generate X more in revenue through working with clients or something else. Because the life experience aspect of it, and that's really the having some fun along the way that we say up top beyond the making money, saving money, and getting out of debt. I realize that there are a lot of experiences that I haven't had. And as I get older and as relationships progress, no, there's no crazy announcement on the horizon. But as things progress, I might find myself in a situation where I will have less time to be able to do those things. There will come a time where I have a family. And I always hear parents telling me now, like, do this while you can. These are the best years of your lives. Aside from the point of your life where you actually have a kid, because then that becomes the best years of your lives. But before that, they always encourage me to get out there and see the world. So while that doesn't put more money in my bank account, while it doesn't help me achieve any financial goal, it does help me align with one of my personal values, which is freedom. And it does also help me to get inspiration. You know, because I've noticed, even in terms of topics that we may talk about on the podcast or things that I might talk about on social media, a lot of time those ideas come from having just being out and about and come from having conversations with people. I might get inspired by just walking down the street and I see something, or I'm sitting somewhere and I hear people having an interesting conversation. And even just people who do more of the creative work, I find that they've drawn a lot of their inspiration from things that they've seen in the midst of their travels. So I'm not saying that you need to go on some like 6 month journey and find yourself or anything crazy like that. But in my case, I realized that there's a lot more out there and a lot more that I want to see. And that's something that I want to prioritize. So going back to the making money and saving more money, there are some additional things that I'll need to do to make sure that that becomes part of my reality in 2019. And we may need to have Brian back on the show.
And I guess I'll end with everything I've said above is true, but, you know, shout out to Desus. We're all riding our own horses. You know, move at your own pace too. So I hope this is, you know, beneficial and motivational to y'all. But if it's not, if it doesn't apply, you know, let it fly. You know, I don't want to come across as this is the only way to do it. Like, these are the ways that work for us. Right. But, you know, like I said earlier, the best plan is the plan that works. Even if that plan, you know, I've advocated before for the no plan plan, as long as you know that is the plan. If you're like, you know what, this is cool, but I just want to chill in 2019. You know what? Cool. Chill. Your whole entire 2019 can be chilling. As long as it's a conscious decision that you've made to do, honestly, something or nothing. But that's also kind of the piece that I would have for 2019. And maybe it's just also I've gotten more comfortable with the power of no. Like, I'm like, people are like,
yep.
It's amazing to me, especially since I wrote the book, so it's self-imposed, don't get me wrong. But people hear I'm debt-free, or I've written a book that's debt-free, and they correlate that with, then why aren't you retired? I'm like, I need millions more. Literally, I need millions of, like, what? That, like, it kind of shows me, like, how you think money works. Like, that's not how any of this works. Like, yeah, I don't owe MasterCard more money, but I still got bills, and I got 40 years of them. Like, this, what are we talking about here? And that's what I'm talking about is other people always have great plans for your money and your life. And take the ones that apply and fit, but be comfortable ignoring the ones that don't. And I'm just like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm good. I appreciate that insight. I'm going to ignore that advice. That's a nice opinion you got there. That's what's up. Do you? Like, and I'm back in the day, I would have been like, man, this older person, this wiser person, this, you know, high up person in the organization is telling me to do something. I don't really agree with it, but they must know what they're talking about because they're older, wiser, or they've gone through this experience. And it maybe even worked for them. But I know there was a lot of times where I went down a pathway that was really someone else's pathway, or was really someone else's person, or was really someone else's purpose. And it just got me lost. And I'm trying to get greater clarity around, okay, these are the paths that I'm going to go down. These are directions that I'm going to take. And as long as they get me there, it doesn't matter if I take a left at Albuquerque when they would have went right, as long as we arrive at the end goal. And I'm really more focused on the outcome than the path, because the path can be defined by me. I can take others' opinions. I can take others' insights, but it's my life and choices to live and make.
I agree, man. And I think that's something that took years to figure out. And I think about probably since 2007, 2008, even when I first started blogging, how many times I've switched gears or changed lanes because I saw something or I'd see someone achieving some level of success. And I'm like, I can do that too. And I've gone off path and then found myself outwardly, as far as the public is concerned, achieving success. But then inwardly, I'm like, this isn't really what I wanted. And I would liken that even to what you were saying about the goal list that you make at 22 versus what you make at 35 or soon to be 36 in my case. And those things are going to evolve over time. And if you are really happy about what someone else is doing and you're like, man, I want to have that type of life, you might be able to create the same lifestyle, but how you get there is going to look very different. And I think that's pretty much what you were just saying there, where it's like, yeah, we might take two different paths and ultimately still arrive at the same endpoint. Somebody might get there a little sooner. Somebody, it might take a little bit longer. So in some cases, if you have the right accountability partners and so on, you both might get there at the same time. So that covers what we had for our first episode of 2019. So I really want to thank you all for listening. And we're excited about some of the guests that we have planned for the podcast, as well as some of the solo episodes, as well as the updates that we're going to provide as we both address our individual focus areas throughout 2019, which we hope by talking about those things, they'll help you in terms of wherever it is that you're trying to go. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share it with your network and hit us with those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts. The first review of the new year comes from Miss Faye.
It's fine. Motivating. I'm not going to try. 5 stars. This podcast is great. It answers a lot of financial questions I have and leads to a lot of resources I didn't know were available to me. I was really hyped when I heard the episode with Tanya Van Court just because she had great energy throughout. Shout out to Tanya. We'll get that in the show notes, actually. And when I Googled her social media handle so I could tag her, I realized I actually know her. The opportunity arise, I will definitely pick her brain. Keep up the good work.
She might charge you.
As well she should, you know, sticking with the episode theme. Keep up the good work with great guests and funny commentary.
So Miss Phi, Faye, really appreciate those 5 stars. And if you have not, be sure, be sure to drop by and leave us a review, because the more people we reach, the more people we help, the more people that see why you're listening to PNB, the more likely they are to check it out.
And I'll end with, if a man does not have sauce, then he is lost. But the same man can get lost in the sauce.
And if you'd like to be found, you can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Pay Balances, and on Facebook at Paychecks and Balances. That quote was from the lyricist Gucci Mane. Follow our individual accounts at The Marcus Garrett with one T on Twitter and two T's everywhere else on earth for more insights like this one here, Unlost in the Sauce. And Rich is available all over the interwebs at I Am Rich Jones.
I am.
And don't forget to join our email list by visiting paybal.co/email, where you receive our weekly newsletter covering actionable work and money tips and much more.
As you'll see in our doc, good brother, I'm starting the new year off right.
Yeah, I see that, man. I was about to shout you out.
So again, thanks to everyone for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.